joining the crew at the Geek Tank. At the Geek Tank, the Rocky Mountain Geek Tank.
Hi, I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Troy.
And this is Geek Tank on the Go,
your Mint in the Box podcast.
Today we're at Mile High Comics down in Lakewood.
Lakewood. The L's are messing you up.
Yeah, I get. And, you know, I've only lived in this city all of my life. You'd think that I would, you know, have this by now. Yeah. It's a great place.
Yeah.
We're in the back here.
Sweet, and the owner's awesome and nice.
Yeah.
And he's allowing us to use his space to do our podcast.
To be spacey.
Yeah. So today's topic is talking about the geek-o days, or the good old days. We're going to look kind of back on the days of when we collected toys that we had as a kid, toys that we have now, and then advice on how to preserve your collection.
And sounds like a thing.
Probably go a little more philosophical into it, too, as in the purpose of toys and things that normally seem like they don't have a purpose.
Like, you know,
like me.
Action figures.
Oh, wait, yeah.
It's an action figure.
So, flipping my notes.
Flipping your notes. So and now he's flipping his notes off.
That's right. So I had to look up the dates of some of these because I couldn't remember.
Mm.
But so to start us off, I'm going to tell a tragic story.
Tragedy.
Of my favorite childhood toy that I had that I lost.
And oh, no.
You can go get it. So in 1975, Mego came out with action figures for superheroes.
Yep.
And they were more poseable than other figures of their time, other than the 12-inch tall G.I. Joes, which came out much sooner than that. I think those came out in the 60s.
But they were, like, really stylized, too. Because I think they did Star Trek, too, didn't they?
Mego did Star Trek ones, yes.
Yeah.
And then I think they might have done some TV ones, like the Fonzie and that.
But yeah, but seems like I remember
that. I'm pretty sure their very first release, they released, like, five figures, and it was I think they did a DC release as well.
Right.
Because I remember having Spider-Man, Batman, and the Lizard, Dr. Connor. And I think I had Superman, but I was never really that much into Superman, so I can't remember if I really had him or not.
Right.
But in any case, the Lizard figure I liked the best out of all of them, even though I knew, never read a comic with it, didn't really know his origin story.
Sure.
It's just a half. It was a humanoid lizard, which I found to be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And his tail, though, was more like a stuffed toy tail. It was just all filled with fluff and not poseable. You could move it, but it wouldn't stay in any pose.
Right.
And my brother took a wire coat hanger, bent off a piece of it, and inserted it into the tail. So now I had a poseable tail for action, which was really cool.
Right.
So I took this toy with me almost everywhere I went. I really liked it a lot. And went to the dentist one day and totally forgot it and left it there. And on the drive back, my mom refused to go back and get it.
Oh, your mom. So
clearly it traumatized me because I remember it after all this time.
Yeah.
But that was a childhood toy that one of my memories. So your turn.
I wonder how many people like have these tragic memories. Because now I'm thinking about it, I'm like, yeah. You say, you know, and then I left it and forgot about it, and my heart just like.
Now, most of my toys, I can't tell you what happened to them. They just vanished from my memory and collection. Right.
They were there once, and then they were gone. But then there's those traumas that
although I'm fairly certain that my parents and I, my mom and I, my mom.
Your mom.
Moved around a lot. So I think that during a lot of those moves, she would, without telling
purge.
Me. Purge.
Purge. Yeah. I know my mom was purging at
your
some
mom.
Point in time. And because there's a number of things that are like that. But then, you know, that's, I guess it's kind of part and parcel of growing up. I mean, it's funny. I was looking through my notes the other day and just things that I had posted. And apparently my son left his most precious lovey at the Museum of Natural History. And I noted it.
Bunkumboo?
Yeah, Bunkumboo, yeah. Exactly. You know him very well.
I know his favorite toy.
Yes. And we had to, I mean, it was trauma. It was complete and total meltdown trauma time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so favorite that you know him. So.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've recently been informed, by the way, that aforementioned Bunkumboo, his birthday is this Saturday. So we're going to have a party.
Oh, okay.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know why. He was seeing me put stuff in the calendar, and he's like, I just want you to know that Bunkumboo's birthday is
nice.
Okay.
So when he's 40 years old and has his own podcast, he can talk about Bunkumboo.
Yeah, he can talk about Bunkumboo. For me, I had little spaceships all of my life. I mean, I still have little spaceships,
oh, yeah.
But some of my favorite stuff were that there was a point in time in the 70s and 80s where they were making little erasers. You know, they were rubber erasers, but they were in shapes of...
the little generic spaceships.
Right, they were generic spaceships.
I had some of those.
And I had some of those, too. And that was the same thing. I would carry them everywhere.
I never used them as an eraser.
No, of course not.
Of course not.
They were spaceships. Why would you do that? That was ridiculous. And I had stories for each and every one of them. And I still, even to this day, remember some of them. Because I actually, at some point in time, I'd take a pencil and I'd like shade in certain lines and stuff like that. Windows.
Yeah, because it had the grooves.
Right, it had the grooves and everything like that. So I'd shade them in and everything like that. And yeah. I remember once that like my cat chewed one up.
Oh my.
And I was like, oh. And I was so mad at my cat. I was like, that ship had this long history. I mean, it's gone to Mars, and it's gone to Jupiter, and it landed on one of the moons of Jupiter, and it ended up being dead because of you, dumb cat. So that's one of them. I mean, but you were talking about toys that you wish that we had when we were kids that we wish that we'd taken better care of. I had the really large playset from Space 1999 of the Eagle, and it's actually...
Did they make action figures for that? Or
yeah, they had okay. They had complete action figures. I mean, just like any G.I. Joe, it had little teeny guns and little teeny tricorders or whatever it was that Space in 1999 had that was right. That effect. But they had this huge playset that was an eagle. And you could put the action figures in the cockpit and sitting in the command seats, or you could put them in the little seats inside the back in the transporter section.
Right.
And, of course, just like anything, you know, the cockpit came off and the engines came off so you could make a little escape ship. You know, it was just the cockpit and the engines.
Back when toys had multifunctions.
Right. And I had that, the actual core piece of that still was around when I moved out of my mom's house.
Your mom.
Yeah. In the 90s. And I still had it. But yeah, I wish I had kept the whole thing because it was such a cool toy. But... I was going through old pictures, and I saw, you know, Christmas one morning, and, you know, you come down and there's Christmas.
Right.
Well, my parents had a habit of placing everything under the tree, and they were so proud of their setting up of everything that they would take a picture of it. And I had one of those pictures, and I was scanning it in because I'm scanning.
Yeah, one of those, after all the presents are open, they make you give them back.
Right.
So then they can display them under. I know what you're talking about.
Sort of, except that.
Or did they not wrap them?
In our house, Santa Claus didn't wrap presents.
Oh, okay. So they did. This was before you got into them. Okay.
So they would put them all under the tree, and then Santa Claus would put all of the Santa Claus stuff under the tree, and they'd take a picture.
Yep.
And so the big toys, like this transporter, would be unwrapped and sitting under the tree, and so. I found a picture of it, and I'm like, well, now I know exactly what year I got it, and it was 1979.
Nice.
And so, I mean, it was Christmas of 79. Yeah, Christmas of 79. And so that was, and that toy was one of my favorites. That and the AT-AT. I had the AT-AT.
I had the AT-AT as well.
Yeah.
In fact, AT-AT. Kind of to my shame, I remember being selfish with it, that I was playing with it on the terrace of the apartment where we lived at, or the... It was the communal one where you come up the stairs and use it to get back and forth.
Right.
And I was playing outside with it because it had snowed. And why not have an AT-AT
in the snow? It's an AT-AT
in
the snow. It's what it belongs to.
And
belongs.
Some kid I didn't know about my age came up and said, can I play with it? I was like, no, because I'd just gotten it and I was scared he's going to break it. And right. I was not very good at sharing with that. And so I'm like, oh, that's one of those that vanished without me knowing where it went. It's like, oh. But, you know, that's one of those also where I had a little bit of buyer's remorse because after I got it, I'm like, this looks cool and everything, but it doesn't fit my play style with my toys.
Right.
Because you couldn't really have interaction face-to-face with the characters with that as much. But it was a neat toy. I had two spaceships that I really liked, one more than the other. So I'll start with the lesser one. Do you remember the Micronauts?
Yes.
I had the big, giant Mego Micronaut battle cruiser.
Wow.
That could break into multiple little ships. You could totally redesign it. The wings, two of the wings, which could become their own ships, also functioned as dart guns. So you could take them off and put the little darts in them. The darts that came with it kind of sucked because they were super top heavy.
Right.
So I would replace them with the suction cup darts at the time. But the Micronauts were super poseable figures, especially compared to Star Wars guys and G.I. Joes.
Yeah, they had like... ball joints in the shoulders.
Yeah, joints
and stuff. I love the Micronauts.
Yeah, they were. The only thing I didn't like about them is they all look like robots and there were no humans, but it was cool. And so that was a really neat toy that I had that, again, have no idea what happened to it.
Makes you wonder if that was a design choice. You know, if they got to the point where they're like, we want to make super poseable stuff. Oh, they look really not human anymore. So let's make them robots.
If you made them human, they wouldn't look right.
Right. That's what I mean. It's like, I wonder if that was a design choice. Because, I mean, now you and I both collect very poseable human type figures.
Yep.
But there was a phase, remember, in the early part where you and I were collecting like those Batman and the Batgirl.
Yeah, and they were
super poseable.
I'm pretty sure it's the same company that made the Micronauts.
Yeah, but they didn't look quite right.
Yeah, they didn't quite look right.
And then Japan came up with Kotobukiyas, and the Kotobukiyas were really poseable.
Are those ones with the skin?
Yeah, they have like skin on them and stuff like that. So a rubber skin.
There's a toy company, Dragon, that does some skin.
Well, Kotobukiya would do like the between the size. So they're not G.I. Joe size. It's like not the big G.I. Joe.
6-7 inch.
But they're like in the middle, and not the little guy either. Yeah. They're a little larger. So anyway, yeah. Kotobukiyas had the double joints in the knees so you can make them kneel.
Yep.
Because, of course, it's Japan, so they have to sit Seiza.
Yeah. Seiza you.
Seiza me. Seiza Kotobukiya.
That's right.
So, yeah, there
you
go.
We just invented their next commercial ad.
There you go.
And the other ship that I would actually buy today again, and I'd probably spend upwards of $100 if I could find it in its complete form, but it tends to go for more than that. And I rarely can ever find it with everything.
Yeah.
And so I'd have to buy multiple ones to get all the pieces to. It was made by Milton Bradley, and it was called a Starbird Avenger.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this thing, when you tilt it up, it would make a climbing noise, like an ascending noise. And then when you tilt it down, it would get like it's landing. It had a firing noise function and lights on the front. The front cockpit part could detach and become a smaller ship. It had a little gun emplacement that could come out. And I love this toy for some reason. It's really, I think it was my first spaceship I ever had.
Yeah.
And I had the command center, which was cool, but I don't really care about that as much now. But it was...
The spaceship was cooler.
The spaceship was cooler, and it was one of those... It defines my childhood with toys at a younger point. My defining points was that, and then later on I got into the 3.5 inch tall G.I. Joes. And those were... I didn't really get into Transformers, didn't have those, or He-Man. I don't know why, but for some reason the G.I. Joes were the ones that attracted me.
Do you think that that's sort of the thing? I mean, you and I are both collectors. We have we have tons and tons of toys in our basement. And by collectors, I mean that we have tons and tons of toys that we like to play with.
Yeah.
But we don't tell anybody that because then they look at us like you're 40-year-old men flying through your house going, yep.
Why do you have more toys than your 8-year-old?
Yeah. And you know, so we call ourselves collectors because it's like that. They're action figures, not dolls.
Level of class,
right? It's action figures, not dolls.
Yeah, they're collectibles,
right? That's
it. But you know, you and I break the collector rule because we take them out of the box and play with them.
Yeah, it's true.
And so the resale value goes right in the toilet.
Yeah, but then there's still playable spaceships, and that's fine by me. But do you think that that's what dictated it? I mean, you think about it, because you've been an action figure guy for a long time.
Well, I was thinking back on this, and maybe we should go to break and then come back to this question.
Yeah, let's go to break and come back to this. So we'll be back right after this.
That way you have a chance to go play with some of your figures.
I'm going to go play with my figures. I'll be back.
This is Todd Jones. You are listening to Geek Tank.
And we're back.
So we're talking about toys that we collected as kids and other things. So to answer your question, I should also mention we are at Mile High Comics.
Yeah, we like this place.
They don't just do comics. They have collectibles. Imagine that.
Yeah, a whole bunch of collectibles. They've got all the Eagle Moss ships that I need now.
A whole bunch of stuff we can't afford.
So bad.
And they have Magic cards and Magic the Gathering cards and cool little shop right north of First at... Wadsworth.
Yeah.
What's the name of this little... Do you know what the name of this little shopping center?
No, I don't know. But it's got that Starbucks in it, and it's got the Black Eyed Pea. And this, I'm sure, is all really fascinating for those people who are listening to us from, like, New York.
Hey, I have family in New York that do come out here.
And I have a friend in New York that I know listens to our podcast.
So take that.
Hey, David. So there you go. Shout out to David and the Syntholics podcast, which is pretty cool.
And so you were asking me about the The why?
The why.
And I was thinking about this, and when I was thinking back on toys that I had when the topic came up, I was like, I really didn't have a large collection as a kid.
Yeah.
I remember having a good collection of G.I. Joes, a few of the vehicles, and I'm like, well, what else did I have? Because at that point, I didn't really buy a lot. I had a few Hot Wheels, but I didn't really play with them. And usually it would be like the Hot Wheels that were the Enterprise and the Klingon D7,
right.
I think it was. And then I still had a few Star Wars toys, but I didn't buy new ones.
Right.
I wasn't collecting those anymore. And that was just because I didn't have a lot of money as a kid. And
sure.
And my mom didn't have a lot of money.
Your mom.
And so when I got things, it would be for birthdays and Christmas. And I think that that affected me, that finally when I got out of high, because I didn't really collect in high school.
Right.
Didn't really collect in high school. And then when I got out and was in college and started getting money too, because I was actually one of those rare things where I was earning money and had what I thought was disposable income at the time, when really I should have been saving it.
Yeah, well.
I found one of my downfalls was I found KB Toys, and which I believe they called it at the time. There's also a place called Biggs, which is similar to Big Lots, but had a bigger selection. And they would get the stuff going out, clearance. And I bought the big bridge set of the classic Star Trek action figure set, the 3.5 ones, because I found it for half off. I was buying the Micro Machine Star Trek ships. And it was...
Wish you still had some of those.
Me too. I do have some, but I don't have the one you're looking for.
Yeah, you don't have the one I'm looking for. Which is another one of those. The one I'm looking for, everybody's looking for, so it's a lot of money. Yep.
So it was about in my 20s, early 20s, mid-20s, that I started buying a lot of stuff. And I think what did it was because I didn't have a lot of toys as a kid.
Right.
And now all of a sudden I had control over that, and I was finding stuff I liked. And I found that my magic power is I can find a really good deal. It'd be like, oh, this is the toy that sells for $50 in the toy store, and I found it at KB Toys on clearance for $5.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, sold, and I'd buy it. And my weakness was if it's a female figure, because there were so few female action figures
right.
in the sets. And it'd be like, oh, look, and that's because it was rare, because they'd include one in a box of, like, all the guy figures you'd have three of, female figure you get one in the box shipment. So, so I think that was my downfall for that. What's your excuse?
Right, I don't have an excuse. Maybe it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah,
really, honestly, when I was a kid, my favorite toys all the way across the board were my Legos. Mm. Like, I think my son's the same way. But, actually, I don't think my son's the same way.
Legos
I
are my favorite fact. Now.
Well, they were definitely my favorite back then, because I had a
I didn't
lot
have any.
Of... You didn't have any Legos
I didn't have any
when
Legos
kid.
As a kid.
Man.
I think that's why I buy so many. They were expensive.
And this describes why you're a serial killer now.
Uh-huh.
It's because you didn't have Legos as a kid.
No, a serial killer's favorite color is yellow.
Oh. Hey, my mom's
That explains a lot.
Yeah, explains a whole lot. Anyway, my Legos were my favorite because I could tell such elaborate stories with my Legos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had in the 70s and the 80s, I collected a lot of the space sets. So I had a ton of guys that were in helmets and tanks and stuff like that. And so they were constantly doing spacewalks and stuff like that because they could. And periodically they weren't wearing their tanks and helmets when they did spacewalks because they got spaced because they had to walk the plank. And, you know, or ships would get damaged and, you know, and then I'd blow a hole in the side of the ship and all of them would get, you know, blown out into space because, you know, that was... But I think the biggest thing was, for me, even now when we talk about things like magic, everything for me is the story.
Right.
And Legos could tell such elaborate stories to me. You know, I could tell the entire story of them landing on the alien planet and the aliens, then they have to either negotiate with the aliens to try to get mineral rights because there were these little mineral Legos that they wanted to get. You know what I mean? It was like...
Sure.
And I've noticed that for me in my childhood, I didn't have an awful lot of naturally they're going to shoot at each other. You know, in fact, very rarely did my Lego dudes carry guns.
That's because you're a child of Star Trek.
Yeah, I'm a Trekkie. So, like, yeah, exactly. Because they, you know, even though people joke about Captain Kirk always going out and killing everything, in reality, the mission statement of Star Trek has always been sort of seek out new life and talk to it, not seek out new life and kill it.
Only kill it after it tries to kill you first.
Right, exactly. So
someone tries to shoot you, someone tries to kill you, you kill them right back.
Right, exactly. Thanks, Captain Mal. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so the Legos were the big thing for me as a child, because they told a story. And that's the other reason why I like the starships, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The action figures, they all...
Starships are a symbol of exploration.
Right, exactly. Whereas G.I. Joes, though I had a batch of G.I. Joes, I just... They didn't seem to... First of all, there weren't that many women. And right. Under the same token of yours, I always felt like female characters were cool.
Lady J, there was Scarlet, and there was the Baroness.
And that was it.
And then eventually they came out with the Zartan's group, the Dreadnoughts. And one of them was a female, which I never got, so I don't remember her name.
Right. By then, yeah. I had given up.
Right.
Because it was pointless. I ended up with like 62 guys and Scarlet, I think.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, Scarlet's obviously the captain, but...
Obviously.
I mean, because to me, that made total sense. I was like, she's the captain.
They never made a female Cobra Soldier, which would have been so simple and easy to do.
Yeah.
So,
but that's back to the 80s were a really weird place if you were one of those people.
There's actually been this weird rule, and it still applies in a way today, that you can't have female bad guys getting hurt by male good guys.
Yeah.
So whenever you see a movie, most of the time when you see an
American
film,
Joss.
You're going to have a female hero fighting the female bad guy.
Right.
So it's a strange thing.
With the exception of Joss Whedon, who doesn't give a crap about that rule and good on him.
Yeah, you will occasionally get differences. Like in Iron Man 2, one of the villains was a female, and I was going to say Robert Downey Jr., but the character Tony Stark is the one who ends up picking him up. So toys today that you have that are kind of like prize items of your collection.
So I have, speaking of transporters, and I'm talking about the Eagle transporters from Space Mission 89.
Oh, not actually.
I actually have one of the Dinky, which was the name of the company.
It's condition.
I have actually one of the Dinky 1978-1979 transporters, and it's one of the early ones, which is painted funny because they had the drawings of the ships when the toy companies got them to make the molds.
They got the concept art,
but they didn't get the actual photographs, so they didn't realize that they're all white like a spaceship. So this one's like olive drab green, and it's got like orange landing gear and orange engine pods, and it's wild, but it's a prized possession of mine because it's in perfect condition, and I love those transporters.
When you got that, did it come with a box or was it loose?
No, it was loose.
It's amazing that it was in good condition.
Yeah, it's in excellent condition, especially since it's that 1970s paint that's slightly sparkly, and it's full of lead. Don't lick it.
In my mind, a PG show, don't say anything else to that.
Everyone
knows I'm exercising great restraint at the moment.
But yeah, I mean,
I've seen it. It's really cool. And I never saw Space 1999 until I was much older and YouTube came out. Although my brother loved it.
Yeah.
And I've inherited some of the models that he had from that show. And in fact, our design for our show Windjammer we're creating
was very similar to the
transporter. Yeah, we are paying homage to 99 by our ship design with that. Yeah.
But it's one of those, the show isn't as cool. I watched the show recently. I'm like, eh.
Well, it's when you're a kid. That's
when you're
all
a kid,
get.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's like Knight Rider. Knight Rider kicks butt unless you watch it now.
Yeah.
And then you're like, uh-huh. But, you know, you think back on Kit, and you're like, oh, Kit's awesome, you know. So it's like, so that's one of my prized possessions.
One of my prized possessions is actually something that I used to have, and it may be the same one. I don't remember if I sold it to you and then traded back for it, or it may not be the same one. It's one of those things where
noticed that you and I have this entangled past now.
We do. And, you know, I may have sold it to someone else, but I ended up getting yours because I remember, it was one of those that I wanted it again. and I had something that you wanted, and so I was like, hey, you want to trade?
Yeah.
And it was the giant DS9.
Yes.
From Deep Space Nine.
Because I got the DS9 for Attack Wing.
Yep. And since you only need one.
I only need one. And they're the same size.
Yeah. The only difference is one makes noise.
Yeah, one makes noise. And I don't need that. Usually I end up with just the batteries oozing stuff into the interior of these poor ships.
But back from my my mid-20s, I was buying a lot of the ones that make noise.
Yeah.
And the only one that had survived...
Those are called the Playmates toys. Because I've got a number of the Playmates ones, too, in my collection.
The only one
which is why you traded me. You traded me the B.
I traded you the B Playmates, the Enterprise B.
Which has fallen over in my house and needs to be set back up again. Because I don't want it to break off a warp nacelle.
But Deep Space Nine is my favorite of the series.
Right.
And especially, you know, second next is Next Gen. But that's because my wife and I would watch the show.
Sure.
And so that makes it extra
has
special. And so the DS9's a cool ship that I want displayed, so I traded you for that. So that's actually one of my ships I consider one of my toys that's in prized possession.
Well, I'm glad that turned out that way because, I mean, you know, for me, I was sitting there going, hey, you've got the B. It's really hard to get the B nowadays because it's hard to get any of those Playmates anymore.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I'll trade you for the DS9. I'm like, I've got a DS9 already for Attack Wing, so sure, that's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, because the Enterprise B to me, nothing. Yeah,
nothing.
Star Trek.
But. Well, yeah. Then, so that's pretty cool.
I'm glad
to know that ended up being in favor for
you. It is.
You.
It totally is. I've got two other items that I put in my notes, too. Because I was thinking, there's really nothing I have that I would be upset if I parted with.
Right.
And it's a kind of a weird place to be as a collector.
Right.
And I was trying to figure out, well, what do I have that I wouldn't want to get rid of? And I've got this dart gun. I meant to look up the name, but I think it's called like a ZX-3, and it's made by an Italian company, and it shoots little rubber yellow bullets. Back in the day, like in the early 80s, you could get the suction cup dart guns that are spring powered. And my brother was huge into the game Assassins and Tag, which eventually Steve Jackson released as Killer, the creator of GURPS, has a whole book. And he played a lot and he trained me to play a lot. And this gun did something that dart guns couldn't do. It had a clip of four bullets. So when you pulled back the thing and pushed it forward, you loaded the next bullet and primed it to fire with the air thingy in it. And so you could get four shots off rapidly with it, whereas someone with a dart gun would fire and have to put another dart in. So it gave you an advantage. It also shot further and more accurately than any dart gun.
Hmm.
And it looked, here's the crown thing of it, it looks like the gun from Blade Runner.
Oh, yeah.
Which is awesome. I love Blade Runner.
Yeah.
So I've got multiples of those now. Like three or four of them, and because I got inherited his collection for the longest time, I only had mine. But it's
which, by the way, the intro piece between this was from Blade Runner. Just saying. Just so we know.
Mm-hmm. William Carlos, now Wendy Carlos, correct? Did Carlos? No, he didn't.
No, it was Vangelis.
Thank you, man. I'm jealous of him.
Yeah, you are.
I get their music mixed up in my brain, but yeah, Vangelis, amazing
Vangelis.
Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that, and then I have a 12-inch original Darth Vader from the Star Wars ones.
Wow.
12-inch one. Does not have his lightsaber, does not have his cape. However, my wife made a cape for him.
Oh, that's cool.
So it makes him extra special now.
Right.
So at some point, since I have the skills, I will make him another lightsaber.
Sure.
But it's one of those that broke the mold because he's not spectacularly sculpted. He's not poseable, other than like Frankenstein moves.
Right.
But it's Darth Vader, and he's 12 inches tall, and he survived my childhood. And
right.
I got him at a point that I don't even remember. So he's the toy that I've had in my collection the longest.
Hmm.
So I rambled through those quickly because I know we're coming up on another break, and I wanted to give you time if you had another prize toy you wanted to talk about.
Not really. I mean, like I said, I prize my Legos because now I still have all of my original space guys. Which you've seen.
Yes, you have a large plate that you have them all rank and filed on.
Yep, I do, which is great.
And you add to them every time
a new space set comes out. I collect all the space guys and stick them on there.
And thank goodness they made Benny.
I know.
Without you having to buy an $80 set to get him. or a $100 set or whatever it was.
Good old Benny. I love Benny.
Spaceship. Yeah,
it wouldn't be so funny, except that he is actually like, right. He's
your spirit animal.
He really is my spirit animal. I mean, because that's literally my life right there. Well, okay, let's go on ahead and go to a break. We'll listen to a little bit of Vangelis, and then we'll come back right after this.
we're back.
And we're talking about toys here in the in a sort of our nostalgic sort of way.
So how to, for those of you who have collected or are planning on collecting, maybe we should talk a little bit about protecting your investment.
Yeah. Which means don't play with them. Don't pull them out of the box and play with them and run them through the house.
You kind of need to decide.
Don't attack your son with them and then give one to your son to have your son attack you back.
There goes Nerf guns.
Yeah.
I guess you kind of have to decide.
Nerf guns? Who does Nerf guns? I've got spaceships.
I've got a wall of Nerf guns.
Nerf guns so you could pull the covers over.
we suck at our getting our website in order because we're not website guys.
No.
But we need to get our website going because then I can put pictures of my Nerf gun wall on it for people.
That'd be cool. Actually, you can post it to our site and just make a blog post.
Yeah. But we need to fix our website.
We need to fix our website.
But in any case, if you think that you're ever going to want to resell something, then you should never take it out of the box. If you do take it out of the box, make sure you keep the box
right
in as good a shape as possible. Because,
What
was it that I was looking at? I know that the thing you were talking about, the playset for the Space 1999, is like well into the hundreds of dollars if you find it brand new.
If you find it brand new, it's actually, I think, in the thousands of dollars but if you can just find one that has all the pieces, the biggest problem with that particular playset is all the pieces came off of it. You could take the cockpit off. You could take the engines off.
And what kid's going to keep track of that stuff?
Right. And the doors to the side of the center section were not hinged. They were a little like L locks, so you'd lock them in and then close the door, and then it would snap shut. So you could pull it all the way off.
Right.
So, so that way you wouldn't be in the way when you're playing with your action figures inside there. Well, those doors vanished.
Yeah, they don't survive moves.
Yeah, they don't. That entire ship lost everything out of it, and I just literally had the center core. I mean, even the feet, the landing feet, were glued in, and over the years the glue came loose, and the feet came off, and I was down to like 1 foot. And, of course, then it wouldn't sit level, so I took that foot off, and then it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I literally, it was just a torso of a ship at that point in time.
Yep.
But it still had the seats inside so.
Yeah, if you're going to be a collector with the intent of reselling, you've got to not take it out of the package.
And if that's your plan, buy two. That's what usually we do is, I mean, we'll buy two, one you're going to play with and one you're going to keep in a box.
If you got the money.
Yeah, if you got the money.
I still don't have the money to do two of something.
It depends on what it is. I mean, you end up with these deals of half price.
Now,
if you end up with a half price deal, then for full price, you get two of them.
I will tell you, as a collector within the past couple of years, and thank you to Mo, the Magnus toy.
Toy Magnus. Shout out to Mo.
Who has, and yeah, if I would have known I was going to do this, I'd have had this information in front of me. Because he does have a physical location store where he sells toys and collectibles.
We'll put it in our liner notes.
Thank you. Way back in the day when you and I got into the podcasty stuff, he was telling me about Legos and how they never decrease in value.
Right.
And I happened to be in, of all places, a supermarket, King Supers, and they had a ton of Legos for 50% off. And I happened to have had a couple of $100 in my account, not earmarked for anything that I didn't have to save.
Right.
I'm like, well, I'm going to buy every single one of these and just stick them away in a box.
Right.
Because at worst, I can sell them for their full price, in which case I doubled my money.
Right.
And so that was my move towards collecting with the mindset
getting
of
getting seriously
reselling.
Collecting.
Yeah. I pulled back off of that a lot now because I only have so much storage space and I've exceeded that. So I really need to start selling stuff to make more room and start making it. Because you don't make money if you only buy stuff and never sell it.
Right. Right. And you never know. I mean, it's like magic cards. We were talking about this earlier. Here I've got this super rare card from one of the early sets and it's 30 cents.
Yeah.
And a resale.
And it's like one of your most recent cards is $60.
Right. And I just pulled a card from this newest set that dropped like, what, two Fridays ago?
Yeah.
And it's a $60 card.
So right away.
So you never know where things are going
to
go.
To protect your investment, buy card sleeves.
I put it in a sleeve and then I put it in one of the hard sleeves now. So it's now in a hard sleeve. Mm-hmm. One of those plastic super hard sleeves.
Oh, the display sleeves.
The display sleeves. Because I'm never going to play. I mean, if I play it, I'm going to play it as a proxy.
Right. So. Most people are fine with that because you say, look, I do own the card.
Right. Here's a photograph of it.
Or you pull it out and show them the real thing.
Yeah.
But there's also, for those of you who don't know that do play Magic, not only are there sleeves, but they have these things called perfect fit sleeves,
yeah,
or true fit sleeves. And these fit on your card and then fit inside of the other sleeve.
So you can double sleeve them.
And so what you do is you sleeve, the inside sleeve goes from the top of the card to the bottom, and then the outer sleeve goes from the bottom to the top. So you get almost a laminated type effect without it actually being laminated, so you don't have to cut it out of the card.
But yeah, I was going to laminate my cards. That sounds like so much fun.
Problem is getting them out of the lamination. If you do need to sell it, but you could damage the card. I don't know.
No, I think that the heat process of laminating would totally destroy the card.
Yep.
And, so I mean, really, if you're going to don't laminate your cards. I'm being
horse. Geek Tank does not endorse
laminating your cards.
Also for comic books, if you don't laminate your comic books either. That'd make them really hard to read. Laminate each page.
Just laminate the pages. Then staple them together.
That, yeah.
Thwap.
Someone's going to smack you in the head if you do that.
Oh, boy. But, I'd smack me in the head trying to laminate those things.
When I was younger, I never put card back. I never used protective sleeves for my comics.
So you never used protection?
I know. And then look and where I'm at now. I'm a dad. Happened.
Yep.
So, but yeah.
Yeah, we always say practice safe comic books and safe magic.
And safe magic. Because you don't want someone spilling their orange juice on your deck.
Spilling
which happened
your
to
orange
our friend.
Juice.
You remember Bob? He had what he called the OJ deck.
The OJ
back deck. Back when OJ Simpson was going through his thing. Yeah. So it was not a. People were very upset about that, and he had to explain. No, no, I mean actual orange juice.
No, it really did get orange juice on it.
Posters. When I was a kid, I had some cool posters that I put up with tape.
Yeah.
Womp womp.
Womp womp.
But yeah, it's
and now though. You look back on that and you're like, well, those are great posters.
But places
I,
like
I had a I had an Alyssa Milano poster. For a long time on my wall.
The name is so familiar and I'm drawing a blank.
At the time, when I was infatuated with her, it was because of Who's the Boss.
Oh, okay.
She was the... Because now you're like, I had a crush on her and Who's the Boss? And you're like, she was 10. And I'm like, well, so was I. You know?
Well, the name's... I recognize the name.
We were both 10. It was totally fine. She's like 6 months older than me. Or something. I mean, I had a big poster of hers, and that lasted until my first girlfriend, who's like, no. And she had me.
Well, at a certain point, you're no longer 10, and she's still 10 in the poster.
No. She wasn't 10 in the poster.
Oh, okay.
This was later on. She did a hockey poster.
This was far funnier when I thought you had a poster of a 10-year-old.
Her 10-year-old on my wall. Yeah, no. That was when she was in her late teens and was doing the I'm going to be more sexy now to try to break the mold thing and stuff. But anyway. Doesn't really matter. That lasted until my first girlfriend or my second girlfriend or whatever. And then shout out to my second girlfriend.
It's definitely a weird thing. I didn't have pictures of the girls in the bathing suits or the cars.
She wasn't in a bathing suit. She was in a hockey jersey because that's...
Okay.
So did you know that hockey jersey... Anyway.
But I had pictures of Buckaroo Banzai. And that I had the ones that came in the magazines because they'd come out with magazines with the posters in them. And yes. It'd actually not be a magazine. They would package it as here's 4 to 8 posters in magazine form.
Right.
And you take it apart.
Secretly.
And the stupid thing is they would do double-sided posters. So
right.
This
so
side's
you have to
Conan.
Figure out which one you're going to do.
This side's Raiders of the Lost Ark. And you want both.
Yeah. See, now I had those too. I mean, I with the Star Trek magazines,
yes.
I would have a ton of starships up on my wall. Of course. Mm-hmm. It's just that, you know, you hit that period in your teenage years and girls are cute too. And so I had the girls are cute too phase. But it's funny, you were talking about bikinis. I would never really, that didn't, even as a teenager, I don't know if I'd put a bikini clad girl up on the wall. But Alyssa Milano carrying a hockey stick for some reason was a very attractive thing, even though she wasn't scantily clad.
And you were
at all.
Never into sports, which makes it.
Never into sports. Yeah. That was my mom.
Your mom.
Yep. So anyway, the long and the short of this is. Practice safe collecting.
Yes. Now, here's a thing that I found interesting and hadn't thought about because I'm not a smoker.
Practice safe smoking.
By not smoking.
By not smoking.
When I was looking at stuff on eBay, it would say from a smoke-free environment. And I was like, what does that matter? And it's one of those when you do receive something from a smoke environment and you're not a smoker, you're like, whoa, that's interesting. This toy smells like crap.
Well, it's not only that, they yellow.
It yellows, yeah. Because
my dad's a big, big book collector. And that's one of his major, major, that's one of his regrets. Biggest regrets was being a smoker, because some of his really rare first edition autographed books are yellowed from his own smoking.
Paper soaks that stuff up.
He ruined his own collection, and boy, that gets under his skin. Mm-hmm. He really regrets that.
So something to think about if you
if you're a smoker, don't smoke around your collection,
or someone that's
don't let them smoke around your collection. Because, boy, that stuff, and especially like marijuana will get into that stuff too.
I would have no idea. But, and I'm serious about that. I realize that.
I don't either, but I mean, I've heard, because obviously.
It makes sense, because the smell's going to get in there.
Yes. I just sounded like I was all defensive. Well, I don't either, but I've heard. I'm not smoking marijuana.
It's okay, we think. Well, I mean, it's legal. I mean, I look at it.
I'm not smoking marijuana.
Not right.
It may not be legal in your state, but it is legal in ours. Yeah. So there you go.
And unfortunately, the smell bothers me.
Yeah, the smell actually makes me sick to my stomach. So I don't think I could ever do marijuana, because it's just the smell is nasty.
You know, one of my friends was like, well, you could eat it.
I'm like, anyway, that sounds great.
Okay.
Because the smell stinks. So
I'm good.
Clearly, it's going to taste awesome. I don't know.
I'm good. I've got cards to buy with my money.
I was about to say, I've gone 40 years without getting into drugs or smoking or really heavy alcohol use or anything like that. So I think I'm just going to keep going.
My vice is geeky stuff.
Yeah, geeky stuff costs me far more. Mm. Yeah. It's like the bumper sticker that says, you know, anime, drugs would be cheaper. Pretty much anything is cheap. Anyway, Before we go,
what purpose does our collection serve if, like in our case, we're not collecting to resell? And it's I brought this up before we even started the show.
What's so funny is this is the topic that you wanted to get to. Here we are at the very end of it talking about it.
Our rabbit hole rambling, which we never do.
We never do that.
And I was thinking, you know, there's two folds to the purpose. One, it's an entertainment aspect. It's the same as paying to go to a movie, because the movie, you're not getting a returnable product out of it.
Yeah.
You're doing it for the story, for the entertainment. And so magic cards, comic books, toys. Not like I don't really play with my toys anymore. I display them. And so they are a badge of geekdom.
Yeah.
So displaying my DS9, not that I have a lot of strangers coming to my home, but it's kind of like when someone comes into my home and they see that, I'm saying I'm a proud fan of this.
Right. Well, and it's not just that. I mean, when the people who do come into your home are people like me who go, oh, look, you've got a Playmates DS9. That's really cool. I mean, there's a lot of that's involved in that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this is a good question to ask, because my wife, I know, constantly wonders why my basement is filled with these things that nobody sees.
And you have the same problem I have, display space.
Yeah, I've got display space problems, because I've been thinking about that all along. I mean, I was actually thinking about that last night, which is I've got a whole bunch of really cool stuff. I've got Colonial Vipers. I've got a number of really interesting ships that aren't getting displayed anywhere, because there's just nowhere to display them.
And we both procrastinate in creating a display space.
Right. We need to create a display space that shows all these ships off and stuff like that. So, I don't know. To me, there's a certain amount of comfort level. When I was a kid, you know, and you know, everybody has bad days and good days and stuff like that. I would retreat on the bad days to the little world where it's a perfect world. You know, my little spaceships are flying around and going and exploring strange new worlds and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, and even whenever I'm having a bad day, maybe they're shooting the bad guys, and the bad guys are the bullies at school, or, you know, the teacher that just gave me an F, or, you know, whatever. It was so I think some of this is a touchstone to a comfort zone, you know, where I'm comfortable when I see these ships. I know that, you know, there's another universe somewhere in my history or whatever.
Well, it's a bridge back to your childhood.
Right. And a safe space in my childhood. You know, when I look at all these spaceships, it's a safe space where all these ships lived and stuff like that. So I think there's a little bit of that going on too. Because I
realized the bad pun, you don't have enough space.
I don't have enough space for my spaceships.
They're called spaceships because they take up so much space.
Hey, if you've got Galacticas, that could definitely be a point. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of space they take up, because they're battle stars, and battle stars are big.
Are they as big as a star?
No, they're as big as a battle. Okay. Anyway, so I don't know. That's sort of my thought on that one.
Okay. I don't know. I agree.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. I mean, I think you look at all of our stuff, and a lot of it's just touchstone. Because I think about that. What happens when I die? What's going to happen to my collection?
It's eBay.
Right. I mean, really. And a lot of it's not going to be worth anything.
No. It's going to be one of those, here's a Geeks collection, one penny.
Right. Right. And like my mom had your mom.
I think we had a record.
I think we did too. My mom has a whole bunch of sports memorabilia that really doesn't sell very well.
Yeah.
And she was a geek too.
Oh, that's our rambling alarm going off.
It's our rambling alarm saying we're
rambling
done.
Rambling too long.
Okay, well, you can talk to us on... Oh, wait, first, our music today was by Vangelis.
Yay, Vangelis.
And you can talk to us on Twitter at RM Geek Tank. No, RM Geek Tank. Or Facebook at Facebook.com/Rocky Mountain Geek Tank. Or you can email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com. Tell us your stories. What are your stories that you've got that are horror stories?
What's your favorite toy?
Send us a picture.
We're asking for pictures of your toys. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube. Just search for Rocky Mountain Geek Tank, and poof, there we are. Be sure to give us stars and likes, even if you didn't star and like us, just because the more we get, the more we're encouraged to keep doing this.
Exactly.
Or maybe the less we get, the more we're encouraged to keep doing this until we get that validation.
Until nobody tells us to stop.
Yeah.
Special thanks today to our guests, which are all of our toys. And you can find them at all of our toy places.
Yeah. And thanks to our location.
And thanks to our special location, which is Mile High Comics, Dan, at First and Wadsworth, because they've been really kind to let us have the back room.
Yeah. You can find them on Facebook if you just search Mile High Comics.
Yeah, you can find them all over the place, I guess, really.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we have for today. I've been Guy.
I'm in Troy.
And this is Geek Tank.
Geek Tank is a production of Fox Play Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license. Your hosts today were Guy S. Davis and C. Troy Floor. Kevin Weibler is our engineer, and our music was composed by David Coyle. If you like what you are hearing, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/Fox Play. I'm Mike Davis, reminding you not to remove this tag under the penalty of law. Good night. Thank you.